Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for counting us worthy to hear this kind of words that we are hearing in these days. Words that takes us further and further in your plan and purposes. Words that empowers and enables us to walk in the way of life more abundantly and more perfectly. We don't take you for granted. It's because, Lord, you have set your countenance to favor us. We appreciate you and we give you all the glory. This afternoon, this evening, Lord, we welcome your presence, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we acknowledge your lordship in this place. For of you, through you, and unto you are all things, and by you all things consist. Lord, we beseech you to come and have your way, to come and take your place, to come and speak expressly to us, and by this word, O God, to build us up and give us the inheritance that you have ordained for us among the saints. Thank you, our God. O Father, I'm asking mercy especially for myself as I bring this word, that you be with my heart, you be with my mouth, you help me to minister, Lord, under the unction of the fathers, as an oracle of God, bringing a word in season, rightly dividing it, O God, that we may be establishing these things that you are calling us unto. Blessed be your name. We give you glory and praise. We are asking, O God, for every one of us, that you grant us meekness of heart to receive this engrafted word, that it will save our souls, it will redeem our bodies, and it will save us unto the fullness of the perfection and the maturity of Christ, to inherit this glory that you ordained for us. We love you, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. Lord, let your word flow like rivers of living waters, bringing comfort, bringing edification, bringing encouragement to every one of us, to go higher and higher in the plan and purpose of God, destroying every yoke, especially of death and premature death, and undoing every burden, so that we might be set free to be and serve you, our God, without any fear, especially the fear of death. We thank you, our Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in and amongst us, so that the increase of your government and peace in and through us, individually and corporately, as your people, there shall be no end, now and henceforth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This evening, like Pastor said, I want to bring a word titled Standing Against Premature Death. Standing Against Premature Death. We must be established in the fact that death is an enemy.
Amen.
And the only thing you do with an enemy is you stand against it, you fight it.
Amen.
You don't give it a place. But we want to be even more specific. We want to understand what premature death is. Let's start with Psalm 90, verse 10. Like Pastor said, we must develop a new mentality. Psalm 90, verse 10. Let's read together. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and will fly away. Now, up till now, the bulk of the body of Christ and saints have believed that this scripture means that the days that God has allotted to us are 70 to 80 years. And because of that, we limit what God wants to do in our lives, and we don't live long enough for God to do all He wants to do. So it looks as if the promises of God are hanging in the air, and there's no set of people that can bring it to manifestation. Now, to define premature death in biblical terms, we need to understand that this word is not addressed to the saints. Hello, somebody. This scripture is not addressed to us. Yes. It's addressed to a rebellious people, a people that did not believe in God. That did not believe God, that did not believe the promise of God. Absolutely. To bring them into the promised land. Absolutely. So this word does not apply to us. Let's read the Amplified Bible to prove it, so that we can define what premature death is scripturally. Then we can start standing against it with right knowledge. Amen. Psalm 90 from the Amplified Bible from verse 5. Let's start from verse 5 so that we can get the full context. This is Moses talking. He said, "You carry away these disobedient people, doomed to die within 40 years as with a flood. They are as a sleep, vague and forgotten. As soon as they are gone," let's read it together. "In the morning, they are like grass which grow up." Verse 6. "In the morning, it flourishes and springs up, and in the evening, it is mowed down and withers." 7. "For we, the Israelites, in the wilderness, are consumed by your anger, and by your wrath are we troubled, overwhelmed, and frightened away." Verse 8. "Our iniquities, our secret heart and his sins, which we would so like to conceal, even from ourselves, you have set us in the revealing light of your countenance." Verse 9. "For all our days out here in this wilderness," says Moses, "pass away in your wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. For we adults know that we are doomed to die soon without reaching Canaan." Verse 10. "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. 70 years, or even if by reason of strength, 80 years, yet in their pride is additional years, only labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone away and we fly away." Let me give us a present day, third day definition of premature death. Premature death is dying 80 years and under.
Hello. Amen. Amen. Very quiet.
According to the scripture. Because all these people that the Bible is talking to, they die in the wilderness. And they didn't enter the promised land. So everybody that entered the promised land, which was the beginning of the promise of God, the fulfillment of the purpose of God, they were 80 years and above. Now, there were only three people that entered. Or three people of the older generation. Three people that prevailed over premature death in that generation. Out of about 3 million people that came out, from Egypt. Out of about this much, about 3 million, only 3 people prevailed over premature death in the context of a definition. Now, Moses lived to be 120 years. Joshua lived to be 110 years. Caleb, we don't know how long he lived, but we know that he lived long beyond 85. Because the last time the Bible talks about his age, he was 85. And he was still strong to go to war. If we compare him with Joshua, since God was blessing them the same way, because both of them wholly followed the Lord, he must have lived to be about 110 too. Or more. So, because of wrong interpretation of this scripture, we have believed wrongly that we are to live just 80 years. And because we believe wrongly, we have thought about our lives and the longevity of it wrongly. And we began to speak also wrongly. And there is no way that God can bring to pass the longevity he wants to fulfill in our lives. I hope you are following.
Yes.
Now, right knowledge will produce right believing. Right believing will dictate right thinking and right talking, which will produce right experience. And the vice versa is also correct. Wrong knowledge will produce wrong believing.
Yes.
And that wrong believing will produce wrong thinking. Wrong thinking will produce wrong talking. And what you believe is what you will have.
Amen.
What you think is what you will become.
Amen.
And what you say is what you will have.
Amen.
Those are spiritual laws that God cannot touch. And that's why, listen, many good and great saints have died prematurely. Not because God didn't want them to live long, but because they believed wrongly.
Amen.
And they thought wrongly.
Amen.
And they spoke wrongly.
Amen.
Now, why are we saying what we are saying now? We are to change what we believe.
Amen.
The numbers of our days are not 70 to 80 years. In fact, 70 to 80 years is half of the number of our days. Let me prove it. Psalm 55. Psalm 55. Verse 23. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in you.
Hello,
hello, sir. Now, this scripture is telling us something. It said, wicked men or bloody and deceitful men, disobedient men will not live half of their days. Now, the men and the people we are talking about in Psalm 90, they are wicked men, disobedient men, and rebellious men. So they cut their days into half. In fact, it was the intercession of David, Moses, that God then did 40 years. Some of them would have done less than that 80. Moses stood before God and said, God, the people of Egypt will hear. And they say, it's because you don't have any might and power to bring them into the land. That's why you destroy them in this wilderness. And God said, okay, because of my name, so that it will not be polluted. He said, for every day that they have wandered in the wilderness, spying it, 1 year. So the 40 years that they lived to be 80 were actually mercy.
Amen.
Through the intercession of Moses.
Wow.
So what are we saying? If many good and great saints have died prematurely because they believe, thought, and said wrong things that our years are 70 to 80 years maximum. As long as other saints believe that, they will experience what they experience. If our experience is going to change, we must have to change our believing, our thinking, and our words. I want to share a testimony from Papa Kenneth Copeland. I had the testimony, and it's good to listen to the fathers. He shared a testimony about a friend, and he shared a testimony about himself. Now, this friend that he shared the testimony about, when that friend was about 47, going to 47, towards 50, he began to have a heart disease. And his body was winding up and all that. And the mother told him that, in this household, your father didn't live beyond 50. He had a heart disease just before 50 and died. Your grandfather, he had a heart disease just before 50 and died. And you now, you began to have a heart disease and you're about 50. So, this man, because of what the mother said, the experience, everywhere he goes and they want to pray for him, he said, my father had a heart disease about close to 50, and towards 50 he died. My great-grandfather had the same thing, and I have the same thing too. And every prayer was not working until they brought this man to Kenneth Copeland's mother. Kenneth Copeland's mother had, that was his testimony, his mother had a prayer meeting group in which she counseled people and she prayed for people. So when this man came in, somebody brought and said, this man is a wonderful saint. This is the experience of the father, this is the experience of the grandfather, and this is his own experience. And Kenneth Copeland's mother called him and said, tell me the truth. And the man rehearsed the same thing. He said, my grandfather had a blood disease towards 50 and died. And my father too had the same. And I too, I'm not having the same. I'm afraid of dying. Then the woman asked, he said, tell me the truth. The man rehearsed the thing again. He said, tell me the truth. Then he rehearsed the same thing again. So, thank God for mothers in the faith. Kenneth Copeland said the mother came and with two hands and just smashed the man on the head. Said, that is a lie!
Hey!
Said, that is a lie! It is not the truth! The truth is that himself took away your sickness and your disease, and by his stripes you are healed!
Hallelujah! Glory to God!
The man was healed. He looked at him again. He said, I said, that is not the truth. That is the experience of your father, your forefather, and you, because you believe wrongly, you thought wrongly, and you spoke wrongly. Say, it's not the truth. The truth is that Jesus took away your sickness, your disease, and by his stripes, you are healed. The man said, for the first time, nobody has prayed for him like that. So for the first time, it dawned on him that something is wrong. I've been holding on to a negative experience, believing it as if it is truth. Then he changed his believing, changed his thinking, and the beautiful testimony that Kelly Kupra said, he met the man when he was 60. The man was healed and hearty, strong. Then he said he met the man when the man was 80. He was still hale and hearty. he would have died because of wrong believing, wrong thinking, wrong talking, and wrong talking. Not because God wants him to die. He was using the experience of his forefather to dictate what will happen in his life. Our experience is not based on what happened to people. No matter who the people are, it's based on what the word of God says. This is the truth. We can do nothing against the truth but for the truth. When you stand on the truth, God will stand with you and your experience will change. Then he shared another testimony about himself. He said, when he was moving to, I think he's now 75, going towards 80. He's almost 80 now. Okay, thank you, sir. Next year. So he said, when he was moving towards 70, he noticed that everything about him started dragging down. That when he exercised his faith for healing, it doesn't come quickly as he loves to come. Before, he would exercise his faith for healing, for strength, it will come almost instantaneously. When he exercised his faith for healing, it would take 1 week, 2 weeks. Then he went to the Lord to ask of him. He said, Lord, what is the problem? Yeah, God now spoke to him that in the gene of your mother, on your mother's side, that in the genetic makeup, the older gene is programmed to die before 70. And that is the dominant gene in your own body. And if you don't stand up against it, you will die before 70. He said, Lord, what should I do? And said, the Lord told him that you have another DNA. He said, my own DNA is inside your spirit. And that DNA does not have a length of days. It's eternal. Amen. That if you start believing and activating my DNA that in your spirit, it will override the DNA in your body, and your body will pick up and you will live beyond 70. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Why should we stand against premature death? Now, if you don't stand against it, it will have its right of way. Yes. It's like, you know, there's a, you know, what we call law of motion. Yes. Every matter will continue in a state of motion until, amen, until a greater one either impinges on it to change its direction or its speed. That means there's a law already working on the earth. It's the law of sin and death. And it's designed to kill us before our time. Some of our forefathers and they have spoken certain things into the air that have affected their whole genetic makeup and body. Just like Pastor has been telling us here, every time we are doing it in the day, you speak to your body that your everything starts at the genetic. In fact, when I read that, I said, this poor pastor has been telling us. Do you understand what I mean? So you use the word of God to make your gene do what it's supposed to do. Amen. Contrary to what he wants to do. What he has been programmed to do. So if we don't stand against premature death, it will have its way. So we must stand against it deliberately and intelligently with faith. This one, you must have definite, clear-cut revelation knowledge. Hallelujah. It's not trial and error. That's what Pastor Dave was preaching last. The treasure of knowledge, which we have in Atting Vessel. Now, I want to quickly show some example. We have all heard the story of Ezekiah. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 38. Verse 1, we will just read. In those days was Ezekiah sick unto death. Now, Ezekiah was one of the great kings in Israel. One of the good kings. In fact, God loved him. Now, he was sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy ass in order, for thou shalt die and not live. What kind of prophecy is that? He doesn't, and he's not a false prophet. He doesn't look like God. So, and this prophet that is coming is a prophet of high caliber. Everything he prophesies comes to pass. Isaiah. Now, so I've been asking God, I said, what kind of prophecy is this? Me, I don't like this kind of prophecy.
Hey!
But God spoke to me from that word, set thy house in order. Something was out of order in Ezekiah's life. And God said, if you don't set it in order, surely you will die and you will not live. God didn't want him to live. God didn't want him to die. He wanted him to live. And he wanted to provoke him to see that he has to do something. Then I asked the question, I said, where did Isaiah hear that prophecy before he came to prophesy to him? And God spoke to me and said, Isaiah was praying for the life of this man. And he kept praying, and he wondered why the prayer was not being answered. And God said, look, go and tell him. He should put things in order in his life.
Jesus, help.
His believing was out of order. His thinking was out of order. And his talking was out of order. He didn't want to die. What happened in verse 2? Then Ezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Question, why did he pray until Isaiah came? Doesn't he know how to pray before? If you go and read the testimony of this man, he has done great and mighty things with prayer. I mean, he brought the letter of Zennacherib, presented before God, and prayed unto God, and God moved. So he knew the power of prayer. So he prayed unto the Lord. Prayer is part and parcel of the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets free from the law of sin and death. Let's look at verse 3. Verse 3. And said, remember me, O Lord, I beseech you, I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Ezekiah wept sore. Verse 4. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, let's continue. Go and say to Ezekiah, thus said the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayers, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee, unto thy days, 15 years. Let's go on. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. 7. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken of. Yes, 8. That's where we stop. That, behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degree, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward, so that the sun returned 10 degrees by which degree it has gone down. That means time went back. But why did God do this? God has been waiting for this man to stand up and pray so that he can add the days to him. He took the provocation of a prophecy that shows that he will surely die if he doesn't pray. For he prayed. We don't have to wait until we are near death to operate the law of the spirit of life to overcome premature death. Now, we can operate ahead.
Absolutely.
Do you understand what I mean? Before he can ever rear his head up, you will checkmate it and kill it.
Amen.
Amen. Now, after 15 years, of course, this happened to him when he was 39, I believe. Then God gave him 15 years more, and he came to 54. That 54 is still what? He's still young, but he died at 54. Then I asked myself a question. Why did he die at 54? Why didn't he ask for more years? And he showed me something that he did not continue to put his hand in order and wholly follow the Lord. Like we said, Moses got 40 years for rebellious people. Don't you think God would have given him more years if he asked as a righteous person? In fact, Psalm 21, let's read Psalm 21, verse 1 to 4. It tells us what God will do to his king. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord. Let's read together. The king shall joy in thy strength. O Lord, in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice? Verse 2. Thou hast given him his heart desire, and hast not withholding the request of his lips. Selah, thou prevented him with blessing of goodness. Thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. Verse 4. He asked life of thee, and thou givest it to him, even length of days forever.
Whoa.
When he asked the first time, God fulfilled this. Why didn't he ask the second time? In fact, it's another story. They prayed for a prophecy to him that evil is going to come in his days because of something that is wrong that he has done, showing the whole house and his treasure to the kings and emissaries from Babylon. Instead of repenting and confessing his sins and asking, you know, for mercy for himself and for his seed, he said, it won't happen in my days.
Hey!
It's all well and good. And he mortgaged his posterity.
Hey!
He lived to be 54 years. If he had lived longer, Manasseh would have been discipled in knowing and serving the Lord. By the time he was becoming king, he wouldn't have become that evil standard that is in.
Absolutely correct.
Now, let's look at another person that stood against premature death. Epaphroditus. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 25 to 27. This place shows us the power of spiritual covering.
Yes, Lord.
Sometimes, like Kenneth Copeland's mother prayed for that man. Sometimes we need spiritual covering to help us to get everything in order, so that God can do what he wants to do. Let's read it. Yet I suppose it is necessary. Let's read together. I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, companion in labor, fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my want. Verse 26. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because you heard that he has been sick. Verse 27. For indeed he was sick near unto death, but God had mercy on him, not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. This last verse tells me that it was the intercession of Paul.
Amen.
That brought the mercy.
That's right.
To overcome premature death in this man's life. Now let's go to Elisha. That's another example. Now Elisha is the man with the double portion. But there was a negative account that was written concerning his death. Second Kings chapter 13, verse 14. Elijah was falling sick of his sickness whereof he died. Now, this man had the double portion. In fact, he didn't only have the double portion. Let's read verse 20 to 21 before I make. Elijah died and they buried him. And the band of Moabite invaded the land at the coming in of the year. Verse 21. And it came to pass that as they were burying a man, that they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulchre of Elijah. And when the man was laid down and touched the bones of Elijah, he revived and stood on his feet.
Wow.
There was enough anointing in this man to raise a dead man that died after him. Yet the anointing on him did not heal him of his sickness. We should ask why. Because he did not rest. Did you hear what I said? Because he did not rest. There's something about the anointing. When somebody is operating under the anointing, he will have supernatural strength. When the hand of God came upon Elijah, do you remember? He outran the chariots of Ahab. Can a normal man do that? That's anointing. If you look at the life of the Lord Jesus, he always takes time to go and rest. That's practical wisdom now.
And the word of God.
Now, law of rest. We want to compare Elijah with Moses.
Thank you.
Now, Moses has a peculiar anointing to him. But the Bible said, there arose not another man in Israel, prophet in Israel, like unto Moses.
We saw the Lord
face to face. Now, when Moses brought the... Okay, let's read. I think we should read so that we can, you know. Deuteronomy 34 verse 7. Let this the scripture speak to us. Said Moses was 120 years old when he died, and his eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. Now that is the end of the story. But it wasn't like that at the beginning.
No, yes, sir.
He will have died before this time.
Yes, sir.
Let's read Exodus.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 18. Verse 12. If Jethro did not teach him how to rest, he would have died. He wouldn't have reached the 120. Let's read quickly. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrificed for God. And Aaron came and all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses, father-in-law, before God. Verse 13. Let's read together. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses started to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from morning to evening. Verse 14. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou alone? And all the people standing by thee from morning to evening. Verse 15. When Moses said, Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God, which is good. Verse 16. And when they had a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his law, which is good. Verse 17. When Moses' father-in-law, and Moses' father-in-law said unto him, let's read together, the thing that thou doest is not good. The thing that thou doest is not. Why? Verse 18. Thou will surely wear away both thou and the people that is with thee. Both of you will die before time. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. That was the problem Elisha had. He alone was carrying the anointing. Gehazi have left him. There was nobody to bear the burden with him. Verse 19. Hearken now unto my voice, and I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people towards God, that they may bring the curses unto God. Verse 20. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and law, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work they must do. Verse 21. Let's read together. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. Let's go on. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they bring to thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So it shall be easy for themselves, and they shall bear the burden with thee. That was what made Moses live long. At the beginning, he would have died. But God sent somebody to him, Jethro. In fact, in Numbers, when the people were asking for flesh, Moses said, look, God, just kill me. God, kill me. Let me not see my wretchedness. And God said, okay, I know all these people that I should fetch them. God said, okay, I understand. Get 70 men. And I will take of the spirit that is on thee upon them. So that they can share the burden with you. So that you can live long. That was the difference between Elijah and Moses. Both of them carried the anointing. Peculiar anointing.
Thank you, Jesus.
I should move now. Let me just quickly conclude on Stephen and Paul. Now, Pastor Greg, I was talking about Stephen on Sunday. And Stephen is actually a great saint. We must commend him, you know, for his love for the Lord. Do you understand me? But his knowledge was not perfect.
Absolutely.
Pastor Gwega shared the scripture when he was sharing. I just want to harp on that scripture and show the difference between Stephen and Paul. Both of them were stoned.
Hey! Talk to me.
Both of them were stoned. One died of the stoning, and the other survived it. What was the difference? And they left Paul for dead. It's knowledge and faith. When the Lord stood to show himself to Stephen, he was actually encouraging Stephen to stand, that I will stand with you. But Stephen misunderstood it and handed over his spirit. If he had not laid down his spirit, God will have made a way of escape. But because he handed over his spirit, and God cannot allow that spirit to hang, otherwise the enemy will take advantage, he has to receive it. But he did something in his death anyway. He forgave all of them. And because of that, the mantle of his apostolic anointing was passed on somebody. The mantle didn't go with him, but he should have lived longer. But Paul was different.
Yes.
Paul didn't give up his life. He said, I'm in a stretch between two. To go or not to go, but I choose to stay.
Yes.
Difference. Amen. I choose to stay, because that is what is profitable for me and for you.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So, let's now go ahead and look at how. Pastor has already told us that you have to live long, because The fullness of what God wants to do is in those latter days. We have heard it many times, but it must be re-emphasized. You have to live long enough to see what God wants to do. Like Pastor said beautifully during the 80th birthday of our mother. He said, supposing Moses died before 80, would you have heard of him? He said, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation, said the Lord. Let's look at how now, quickly. How to stand against premature death. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. How do you become strong in the Lord? How do you become strong in the power of his might? Let's read verse 18 before we continue. Verse 18 here. By praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's how. Let's go back to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Go on. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench every fiery dart of the enemy. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. 18. Praying with all, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Having done all, stand. Put on the whole armor of God. God is love. So the whole armor of God is the whole armor of love. It takes love of God walking in you, through you, towards God, towards men, to stand against it. Having done all, stand. 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 How do you do all? Love. Love is the fulfillment of all the commandments. You can only stand having done all. So, walking and dwelling in love is the key to standing and living long. So, we go back to Psalm 91. Remember Psalm 91. What does it say? Verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The secret place of the Most High is the place of walking and dwelling in love. The love of God. Let's read 4 John chapter 5 verse 18. First John chapter 5 verse 18. Okay. And we know. And we know. that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but is begotten of God. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself in the love of God, and the wicked one will not be able to touch him. Psalm 91 verse 14 to 16. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. Let's go on. He shall call upon me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him, and I will honor him. Verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because he has set his love upon me. That's where it's coming from. Because he dwells in the secret place of love. Because he has made the Most High his habitation. God is love. Okay. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 30. Verse 15 to 20. We're talking about how to stand against death, especially premature death. Love is the first weapon. 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil. Verse 16. In that I command thee to this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandment and his statutes and his judgment, that thou mayest live and multiply, that the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Verse 17. But if thy heart turn away, so that thou will not hear, and thou shalt be drawn away and worship other God and serve them. Verse 18. I denounce unto you this day, God forbid, that you shall surely perish, that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whereon thou passest over Jordan to possess it. Verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. Amen. How do you choose life? By loving God with all thy heart, with all thy might, with all thy strength. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandment. Question. We need to know what law is talking about and what commandment. It's talking about the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that saves from the law of sin and death. It's talking about the commandment of life and love. As Pastor has taught us, 1 John chapter 3, 22 to 24. Let's quickly read that so that we can continue this verse. Let's read 1 John chapter 3. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Because we keep his commandment and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So if he has for long life, we will get it. Why? Because we keep his commandment and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. He now described the commandment. And this is the commandment, that we believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has given us commandment. If we believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, that will give us life. And by the power of that life, we'll be able to walk in love as God will have us love. Verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandment dwell in him, and he in him. Psalm 91 again. Exactly. So that's how to dwell in the secret place. Where the fiery dart cannot touch you. Where the pestilence that lays waste at noon, they cannot touch you. where the terror of the night cannot move near you, where the arrow that flies in day or destruction that lays waste at noonday, where 1,000 can fall at your side, 10,000 at your, but it will not come near you. Huh? That's how. Keep the commandment of life and love and operate the law of the spirit of life, which is what we have been taught. The issue now is do it. And do it diligently, frequently, as we have been taught. Once every 6 hours. Lord have mercy. The frequency of it is to give the circle of death no place in your circumference, so that you can have a force field of life operating for you always. So the enemy will have no place to come in. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3. Thank you, sir. Verse 2. Thank you, sir. For length of days, long life, and peace shall they add to thee. For length of days, long life, and peace shall they add unto thee. Three quality things. You won't only have the length of days, you won't only have the long life, you have it with peace. When the word translated peace is shalom, it talks beyond just peace. It talks peace, well-being, health, prosperity, everything that is good. Amen. They will spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure through the commandment of life and love and the operation of the spirit, of law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, so when we keep this law of the spirit of life in Christ, it sets us free from the law of sin and death. And like pastor is teaching us, that law, as we operate it, we start putting life into our mortal flesh. Amen. And it starts causing the DNA to move from the DNA of premature death to the DNA of long life. Amen. So your body won't be able to die on you because something else is working in it, keeping it going. So your youth will be renewed like the eagle by the law of the spirit of life. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10 to 11. I'm about to round up. Sorry, sir. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. The first one talks about addition. This one talks about multiplication and increase. Can you see the mind of God for us?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
The fear of God. That's honesty of heart. Yes. Humility of heart. It gets back to the heart issue.
Yes. Absolutely.
Amen. Absolutely. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 27. Still on the fear of God.
Hey.
The fear of the Lord prolonged days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened.
Hey.
The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is an essential weapon to stand against premature death.
Absolutely.
Essential weapon.
Essential.
To stand against premature death victoriously.
Lord.
Amen. Okay, Ephesians 6, 1 to 3. I believe we should know all this, but the issue is not known now. We must know it, we must believe it, we must think it, we must say it, we must practice it. Children, let's say it together. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Hello.
So you know what is wrong now. The next verse. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Verse 3. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Amen.
Hey.
straightforward instruction. It's just to obey it. Honor, 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 honor. Epaphroditus will have died if he didn't honor Paul. Imagine what will happen to Moses if he didn't honor Jethro. And say, what kind of instruction? You are a hidden man. What kind of instruction is it that you are giving me? Do you know God? Hey! But that was who God sent to him.
Yes, sir. And he was not a Christian. He was
a priest of Midian. But the word of the Lord was in his mouth for Moses. Because there is no other person Moses could have listened to. Moses is the head of the congregation. No, who knew the way, the law of God like him? Nobody. God, but God sent Jethro to him, his father, and he honored the man. And he honored his father, and he lived long. Thank you, man. Amen. So in conclusion, we must do all to stand against death, against premature death. With spiritual faith and love in our hearts, in our thoughts, in our words, in our prayers, and in our actions. And God will deliver us from every evil work and preserve us to his heavenly kingdom. He will satisfy us with long life and show us his salvation.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. Renew me, flowing from the grace that I found in you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. And Lord, I've come to know.
And Lord, I've come to know.
The weaknesses
I see.
put the other hand on your heart, which is also part of your body, as we pray. We're going to pray, but I want you to pray in faith, brethren. You see, many times we pray, and some people don't pray in faith. They just mumble words, but the words do not register upon their hearts, and they don't believe what they say. They just say it like a parrot. But I don't want you to do that tonight. I want you to pray believing. Just before we pray, I want you to talk to God in your own heart, one-on-one. And then we're all going to pray together. I will lead us, and then we'll all pray in the Spirit. But before we do that, I want you to talk to God in your heart, one-on-one, and say, Lord, I'm serious. I'm going through with this thing. I'm not deceiving you. I'm not deceiving myself. I mean it, Lord. You know, I talk to God like that. I learned very early as a Christian to be honest with God. Brutally honest. Renounce hidden things of dishonesty. Don't walk in craftiness. Don't handle the word of God deceitfully. There's no point deceiving yourself and trying to deceive God. God knows everything. So just tell God, I'm serious. Now, two things I want you to bring out. I want you to address. Look at the problem of Hezekiah and look at the problem of Elisha. They are negative examples, but we can learn. We're supposed to learn. You know, Hezekiah was a good man, like many of us. Ordinarily, he was averagely good. Compared to the other kings, he was very good. But Hezekiah had a problem with maintaining, and the word here is to maintain, his honesty of heart. It depreciated over time. Can you imagine showing everything to the Babylonians? And even that, okay, let's say he made a mistake and he didn't know. When the prophet confronted him, what should he have done? Like Pastor Abraham said, he should have repented. He was so selfish, he didn't even care. He said, so long as it doesn't happen in my time, and you know, that's it. No wonder why he didn't live long. And tell God, I will maintain the honesty and the humility of my heart. It's a very important thing. I'm going to maintain this attitude. Once if I see myself going, I'll quickly correct it. Tell God. And that's why you pray all those prayers every day. I choose to fear God. I humble myself. Don't let them just be words. Let them be things. Exercise. Mommy told us that some time ago. Exercise your heart. Exercise your heart to be of good conscience toward God and man. Hey, say, God, I'm not going to allow this any dishonesty and pride in my heart. The second thing, Elisha example, Moses example, and it's a part of humility. Learn to listen to advice from anybody. Jethro was not even a Christian in that sense back in the Old Testament. He wasn't even a Jew. He didn't have revelation knowledge like Moses. He didn't know God like Moses knew God. But when he brought a word of advice, Moses was humble enough to listen. And he saved his life. Who would have thought that the counsel that will save the greatest prophet on the earth will come from an unbeliever? It may be your doctor. It may be your mother. It may be a friend. Say, this thing you are doing, be careful, though. Listen! Obey natural laws, the laws of rest, the laws of natural medicine. If the doctor says, take this medicine, take it! I have faith. I don't use medicine. Medicine is a part of the mercy of God that God has put in the earth to keep us living long enough to learn the things we need to learn. I tell you from personal experience. I take medicine. And I've learned to listen. I'm still listening to my doctors. And when I correct the things, I see the result. When I don't do it, I see the result. And I'm working on myself as I'm talking to you. Because I recognize that no matter how much anointing I have, if I break certain laws, I will pay for it. Elisha did. There was enough anointing in his bones to raise a dead man, but it did not keep him from dying. What an irony. Because of pride. Because of not doing, listening, just a little, just to listen. Gehazi was a bad guy, but Gehazi was the only one in Israel. Couldn't he have gotten other disciples? You have to be patient with people, folks. Jesus was patient with James, John, the sons of thunder. He was patient with Peter and all his rubbish, all his presumptuousness. Peter was very presumptuous, very rambunctious. Jesus was patient because he knew he needed disciples. And I'm going to tell you something. You will never find perfect people. Everybody God brings around you will have one imperfection or the other. Be patient with them, because at the end of the day, they may be your salvation. It may be them that God is going to use to help you at your hour of need. Be patient with them like God has been patient with you. Look at Moses. Moses, very, very rough guy. Son of Pharaoh's daughter. Killed the Egyptian. But Moses changed. He changed. He became meek. The meekest man on the earth. And he recognized if he kept going like that, he would die before his time. But because he humbled himself, he learned. Then when the people were, he too was patient with them like God was patient with him. He was one who said, God, please don't let us do it like that. When Miriam abused him and Aaron, his senior brother and senior sister, said, who is Moses? Why are you marrying this woman? It was Moses who begged for them and said, Lord, heal her. Even though it was Moses that the insult was directed against, we must learn that lesson. When Miriam died, when Aaron died, Moses was still alive. Talk to God. Now, with all of that, talk to God. We're going to pray now. Talk to God from your heart, not religion. God, honesty, humility, obedience to natural laws, diet, exercise, rest. We say these things, but do you do it? Are you looking for practical ways of doing them? You want to live long? It's not automatic. Elisha proves it. Hezekiah proves it. You might be a good Christian like Hezekiah, a good prophet like Elisha, but there are some other factors involved. It's a three combination lock, folks. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the fear of God, honor your father and your mother. You can't take any of those combinations out. It won't work. The lock will not open. Now raise that hand. Touch that heart. Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come through your servant to me tonight, teaching me, instructing me that I have to stand against premature death. And you have defined from the truth in your word that anything under 80 years old is premature death. That I should live long. So I will see your salvation. If I have not seen your salvation, I haven't lived long enough. If I have not seen the perfection and the fullness of Christ in my life and seen the glory of God, I have not lived long enough. And I will live long enough to see all of those things fulfilled. Oh my God. Oh my God. I thank you for the truth of your word. And therefore, according to the instructions that have been given tonight, I pledge anew to keep diligently by your mercy and grace the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus every day, once every 6 hours, keeping the life of God constantly flowing in my spirit, soul and body, changing my DNA to conform to your will for long life. And also, I pledge anew to maintain the fear of God in my heart, honesty and humility. I will keep this heart and its attitudes with all diligence, in honesty and humility. Anytime I see my heart shifting into any kind of dishonesty or pride, I quickly correct it and bring it back. And then I pledge anew to honor my father and my mother, both physical and spiritual, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name.